This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision.
Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
Shh. How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Making Biblical Family Life Practical. I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
And we welcome you. This program, we are talking about the upcoming holidays.
And we're talking about the tough stuff during the holidays.
Yeah. I mean, it's the time, you know, most of the time when we think about holidays, most of us, a big part of that is family. But you know what? There's the family that you spend your days and your nights with and you see every day. And then there's those who you don't see that often and you don't spend a lot of extended time with. Frankly, some of them can be a little awkward.
Challenging.
Sometimes family can be challenging. And it's, you know, it's a time of year where you can't really, you know, dodge it. You have to embrace this.
Well, you don't want to because, you know, really, family's family. You know, I've never understood these folks who say, okay, well, I'm done with you. I'm not going to have any contact with you. I mean, your family is your family.
Right.
And warts and all, we've got plenty ourselves. We've just got to get along with our families. For one thing, you know, we want to see them in heaven one day. And if we don't have any contact with them, if we don't interact with them, then we can't have an influence on them either.
Right. And you know what? If they are fellow believers, then we're brothers and sisters in Christ as well as in blood.
And thankfully, we shall all be changed.
That's right. And we do need to be building a good relationship with them, especially because guess what? Jesus said they'll know that we're Christians by our love for one another. Okay. And so we really do need to take that seriously. Even my brother, you know, even my aunt. Oh, yeah. Even them. And so, you know, there's a matter of practicality. How do you make this work? So we really want to talk about that this episode. We want to talk about some practical ideas. How do you deal with awkward relatives and uncomfortable situations during the holidays?
Now, speaking of awkward, we need to issue a disclaimer here.
Yes.
If you're related to us and you're listening to this, we're not talking about you. We love you.
Right. We have a wonderful family, okay? Let's just take that as given. But we have lots of friends who don't.
Yeah, and there are, and sometimes even with close, loving families, we've really been blessed with that. There's still some awkwardnesses. There's, you know, there's things that we need to deal with. So let's talk about what do you do.
Okay.
You know, I think one of the most important things you can do just to kind of get rid of a lot of stuff at the beginning is host it yourself.
Host
the events yourself.
And I know that's a big deal.
Well, it's a huge deal. It means we got to clean up. And when you have a big family and you're homeschooling, maybe you've got a family business like us, cleaning up, it's a chore.
Well, I mean, when you live and work and study and do business and everything else in that same small space, then yeah, that can be a challenge. And yet, it's one of those things that's probably good when it's done.
That's right.
It's good to have to do it, sort of. But but hosting it yourself, now, and what's the big advantage to that?
You set the agenda.
You get to set the tone.
Yeah, you decide whether or not there's alcohol brought into the house.
Mm-hmm.
You decide the order things happen and the time things happen and how it happens. And, you know, the cool thing about that is although people may balk at first, we found that extended family and friends all have really enjoyed our traditional holiday celebrations.
Right, right. And, you know, this doesn't have to be a battle. I mean, you can take this. Sometimes people say, well, you know, our tradition is we all go over to grandma's house or we all go over to Aunt Bertha's house and that's what the family does. But, you know, that's a big burden on grandma or Aunt Bertha.
It is. And yet it can be hard for her to let go of that. One way to do that is to say, grandma, you know, this is getting to be an awful lot of work for you. I would love to take over hosting for the family, but you know, we can't do without your special pumpkin pie or your, you know, dressing or your gravy or something that she does that is just spectacular and say, you know, if I were to do this, you would still bring that stuff, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And make
yeah.
sure she knows that she's appreciated and loved.
Right. And you can couch it in those terms to say, I'm going to take some of this burden off and the things that you really love. I mean, who loves to clean up the house? Who loves, you know, cleaning up afterwards? Nobody. So you can offer this to say, hey, let me do that and I'll take care of all of that stuff. And you can help me with the fun part.
Yes.
You know, the cooking or the decorating or whatever they do best. And you could share that with them or even give them a major role in it. But the key thing is if you're the host or the hostess, you get to plan the day. And like you said, you can set the conditions and expectations a little bit.
Now, whether you're planning or not, there's some conversations you know you're going to have.
Oh, yeah. And you know, okay. I remember when I was a student in college, our pastor did a series, preached a series on the tongue, on the power and the threat, and how do you manage the way we speak to one another. And one of the things he kept emphasizing was, you know what, among believers, and let's extrapolate that and say, among family, it's always best to assume the best.
Yes.
You know, to say, okay, they just said something really offensive. Did they really, really mean it to sound the way it sounds to me?
Or better yet, you know, it would be easy to get offended at that, but that surely they didn't know.
Yes.
You know, and just assume that they didn't
and
deal with it in the best way. Now, there's a bunch of different ways you can deal with things like that.
Well, one thing you can do is you can just choose not to pick up that thread. You can just smile and nod and move on.
We call that the pass the bean dip response.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Interesting. Could you pass the bean dip?
Yeah. Or sometimes, you know what? People want to have the argument again. Like, are you ever going to let those children go to school? So, you know what? I've graduated 3 from high school. It's not a matter of going back to anything. We're homeschoolers. But you have that conversation every year. You know what? You can just listen to them and say, thank you. I'll consider that.
That's one of my favorite responses because
mm-hmm.
I urge you, with people you have discussed this with before, don't argue with them.
Right.
Especially at the holidays, because your willingness to talk about it is going to be interpreted by them as they can be talked out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know that you can't. And so what's the point of discussing it at the holidays? It's just not wise. The potential for trouble is just way too high. So instead, you've got to show them you've heard them, you care about them.
Yes.
And you're considering what they say, but it's your decision. And so you say, thank you, I'll consider that.
Or now, something along those lines.
If they say it again, you say, thank you, I'll consider that. If they bring up another point, you say, thank you, I'll consider that with a smile.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they get the point that you are not going to be drawn into a battle again.
Mm-hmm. Now, if you do have somebody who's really persistent about it, you know, one thing that sometimes dad needs to step up to the plate. You know, because we always found that people will sometimes hone in on mama. They'll zoom in on mama and they'll drop all of these things, these criticisms or awkward questions or challenges.
Heavens to Murgatroyd, if they think you're working at the wrong job, they don't talk to you, they talk to me.
But you know what? That's a good time for dad to just kind of come in there and politely, graciously to say, you know, this is a decision that we've made in our family, or even sometimes when it's appropriate to say, you know what, this is something I've asked my wife to do, or this is a decision I made, and our family is all doing this together, to try to redirect attention to dad. Because oftentimes
they won't argue with dad.
They don't want to tangle with dad, or else, you know, dad, men tend to be more debaters anyway. They tend to hash things out by arguing over them, if you can do that in a gracious way. And without quite the emotional load that sometimes women get in. And so if dad can step into the conversation and kind of take that away from being directed at your wife, that's a good thing. You know, this is something that couples need to think about. That's a good point, that couples need to talk about these situations before they get to Aunt Bertha's.
They do. And, you know, you have to think about what battles you're willing to fight.
Right.
Because I wish I had understood this sooner. I wish I had figured out that, you know, I feel like I have been way too willing to argue and fight about our decision to homeschool, our decision to have a lot of children, and way too unwilling to bring up the things that really matter, like salvation by grace through faith.
Yes.
And I really felt convicted about that I will go to town arguing with somebody about why we have 8 children or why we homeschool, and then hesitate to bring up the gospel because it's offensive. Hello?
Yeah.
You know, that's just not right. We need to decide, is this a battle worth having on the holidays? Or would it be better to build memories, to increase the bonds, to have a pleasant time? And I guarantee you this, if you do, they will look on your decisions more kindly.
Yeah. You know, it's hard not to be defensive when you come in here and you think, okay, I've had this same argument with this same uncle every year, and to come in braced. But wouldn't it be better if we could come in graciously?
Yes.
To come in and decide, you know what, I don't want to lock horns with anybody over the holidays. And sometimes you may even say that to somebody. If they're going to be really in your face, you can say, you know what, I really don't want to have an argument over the holidays here. I mean, this is Thanksgiving, this is Christmas or whatever, it's family time. And, you know, let's have this discussion somewhere else. If you really want to talk about it, I'll be glad to talk with you about it. But this is not a good venue for this. And really, you know, let them know that, hey, I'm willing to talk about whatever it is, politics, your favorite sports team, why in the world you're having another baby. You know, maybe this is not a good time to talk about it in front of this group of people. But yeah. I'll be glad to discuss it and explain it and hear your concerns.
Why don't we have lunch in a couple of weeks?
Excellent idea.
You know, and because the holidays are an important time for families.
Mm-hmm.
It's a time that many of us, it's one of the few times a year that we actually get with our extended family and have focused time on them. It's way better to keep the peace. And you know what? What I found with our decisions is that the proof is in the pudding. You know, that as the years have passed, people can look at our decisions and look at how they've turned out, and the criticism has pretty much dwindled away.
It has, hasn't it? That's a good thing to remember, because, you know, maybe our listeners may be sitting there with younger families.
Yeah.
We still got young kids, but we don't have all young kids.
We also have adult children.
We have adult children now, and they can, you know, anybody who knows them can look at them and see, oh, they're responsible, they're believers, they're good, decent adult people. Okay, well, I guess the homeschooling didn't damage them after all.
They turned out all right.
They turned out okay. And, you know, that helps.
And all those children that people were worried about, now all these people who were so worried about us having so many children love our children to pieces and really enjoy our family.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, the people react to our large families with fear because they don't have exposure to large families.
Yeah.
Or they have exposure to unruly groups of kids. And so they see a bunch of kids and they think, here comes trouble.
Or older people, Hal.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of older people these days, their only knowledge of large families was during the Depression and the war years.
Right.
And so, you know, they think large family, hard times.
Uh-huh.
You know, they don't realize that doesn't necessarily connect, you know?
Right, right. Well, and I think we need to talk a little bit more about the large family thing when we come back from our break.
Yes.
But
we need to talk about that. We got a bunch of things to talk about.
We got a bunch of things to talk about.
Because we're going to talk about large families. We're going to talk about how do you handle entertaining the guys and the girls and keeping everybody busy and out of trouble.
Yes, we are. But we want to talk about a couple of resources that we've got that'll be a big help to your family if you're interested in having a Christ-centered holiday season. If you
Yes.
really want to focus your family on Thanksgiving to the God who deserves our thanks, or on Christmas, which is a celebration of the birth of Christ. You know, there's so many things you can do to set that tone, even if it's just your little nuclear family at home. We've got two resources that you will love. One of them is called We Gather Together, okay?
Yes, and it's about Thanksgiving. And it has not just how do you get it done. It mm-hmm. talks about how do you manage family. It has a bunch of resources, Thanksgiving proclamations by different presidents,
mm-hmm.
ideas for increasing gratefulness and thankfulness in your family.
Right.
Recipes, organization charts, the history from the original source documents.
Oh, yeah.
It even has a plan for the day that tells you what to say to mm-hmm. help your family focus on Christ at this holiday.
And these are all suggestions. It's
oh,
not
yeah. You don't have to do what we do, but you're going to love it.
Yeah. And so you can get that at our website at www.raisingrealmen.com/WeGatherTogether.
And we have an even more extensive one that is tons of fun and has absolutely some drop-dead incredible recipes and lots of fantastic ideas, including how to put on caroling party
mm-hmm.
in Christ-Centered Christmas, raisingrealmen.com/Christmas. Yes. raisingrealmen.com/Christmas.
Okay.
I had to stop and think. Okay. And we're really, really excited because we have two new products that are coming out for Christmas this year.
Yes.
Three new products.
And should we tell them about that at the end?
Let's tell them at the end.
Okay. So
hang on to the end because you're going to be really excited about these. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Well, if you're just joining us, we want to welcome you. This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical.
I'm Melanie.
And I'm Hal.
And we are talking about how do you deal with challenging family at the holidays.
We were just talking before the break. We were just talking about what do you do when you've got a big family and you're not from a big family kind of family.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was really shocked this week, Hal.
Yeah.
To see that several of my friends on Facebook said they've basically been kicked out of the extended family holiday celebration because somebody said they had too many kids.
Yeah.
That blew me away.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't treat family like that. That just blew me away.
Well, that's bad treatment. Now, what can we do to kind of to try to deal with that? You know, one thing I think is, okay, let's be gracious and let's think, what are their concerns? Maybe this family member, the hostess or whatever that did this, isn't an evil, wicked kind of person. What is it? Maybe they're just overwhelmed at the thought of another 12 mouths coming in the door. Well, you know what? You can offer to help. If you're not hosting it, you can offer to bring some more food.
In fact, you can take on more than your share. Because it really does seem overwhelming to people, you know, to us. You know, one of our sons went away to college and he would frequently cook for 12 or 15 of his friends. And they'd say, how'd you learn to, how can you do that? And he said, well, we cook for 10 at home, so it's like no big deal. You know?
But other people, if it's just that mom and dad and one or two kids at home, the thought of having, oh, all those people over, it may just be more than they can deal with.
It's scary.
So if we recognize that and say, hey, I know we're bringing a lot of people, but hey, we'll bring some extra chairs. We'll help with some of the food. Can I take over one part of it? Like, can I bring the pies or something like that? You know, do something to recognize, hey, we realize that we're an event.
And don't let it get to you. Because it's really easy to look and say, well, this person and that family, they have just as many together as we do, and they don't do half this. I understand that. Mm-hmm. You know what? Let it go. Just let it go. Yeah. It's all perception. Another thing that you can do is to have it yourself, to help find a place to have it,
right?
To take on more than your share. But how do you deal with the attitude? You know, I think that's really hard.
Like what do you?
Well, just feeling like you're unwelcome because you have a lot of children.
Well, why would anybody feel that way? Are your children especially badly behaved?
No, they're not.
No.
And I think that it's just that it's unique in our day and age. And I think what you've got to do is you've just got to stay positive, because I've found people think it's socially acceptable to say snarky things about big families. Don't you know what causes this? All that stuff.
Right.
But there's something stronger there you can take advantage of.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people are like chickens.
Oh, yeah. It's the old pecking order thing.
Yeah. And so they peck on anyone they perceive as different or vulnerable.
So do we need to peck first?
Yes.
No.
No, yeah. But, no, but we do need to fluff up our feathers and look like a bigger chicken.
Right.
And so if instead they start pecking on you, don't show what causes that, you just fluff up your feathers and you say, yes, I do, and I enjoy it. Can't you tell? And
or I tell people, we're really good at it.
Or you say, why did you need me to explain it to you? But most of all, you say, you know what? I love my family so much because I've found that when I say something positive about our family, that lots of times then other people start saying positive things. Now, maybe they're just afraid I'm going to peck on them.
Well.
But if you're confident and joyous about your family, it won't happen nearly as much.
Yeah. And so that's a good thing. Keep a positive attitude. Stay gracious. You know, go in prepared to deal with some predictable situations in a Christ-honoring manner.
You know, one other thing people get when they have a big family, Hal, is
yes.
presents. People feel how do I buy presents for all those children?
Yeah, I know when I was growing up, our family, we had a kind of large family in the sense of there were, I think, 5 siblings and my grandparents' children, and each of them had the official 2 children. Okay, so there were 10 cousins, and we did a cousin-to-cousin gift exchange, but we drew names. So everybody didn't have to go out and shop for 8 cousins that they only see a few times a year. But
well, I'm not fond of that.
Okay.
But one thing I do like, I don't know, it just seems a little impersonal. Okay, but other people have had great success with it.
Okay.
One thing I like is I like the idea of buying family gifts. And so if people express some hesitation with our family or just a sense that, you know, they need some help here, I'll say, well, you know, one option is why don't we give gifts to each other's families?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you could pick out a movie that the other family would enjoy watching together
mm-hmm.
or give them an experience. People have done that for us, given us a Zoom membership.
Or a subscription to a local concert series or something.
Or a magazine subscription that several members of the family would enjoy.
Oh, yeah.
And lots of times grandparents are worried because we want them to have something unwrapped. Well, a Zoom membership can come with a stuffed animal, a stuffed tiger. You know, a movie can come with a movie and popcorn, and you can buy all those fun little candies that we used to eat in the theater, like Raisinettes Ike's and Fireballs.
Or like some of the, like Costco and Sam's Club and things, they'll have like big tins of popcorn or big assortments of flavored stuff, well, you know.
One of your aunt and uncles every year just goes to Costco or Sam's or something and buys us like a big thing of hot chocolate or a big thing of microwave popcorn.
Yeah.
And you know, that's not very expensive, but our children love that because we don't buy many, you know, convenience foods.
Yeah.
And they get a kick out of that. They enjoy it tremendously.
So those are all great ideas. You know, how do you deal with a large family in the context of a bunch of smaller families?
Yeah.
You know, now you had an interesting suggestion earlier. You were talking about what if you have troublesome individuals in the family? How do you keep them busy and keep them out of their particular danger point? I like one idea. One of the things we've done, and this is great, you know, with men folk, is get them involved in the cooking, like fry a turkey. And you know what? You could even fry a turkey and have a roasted turkey because, you know.
You can't have gravy with that roasted turkey.
No, with a fried turkey. You can't have gravy. That's the one problem. But you know what? Deep frying a turkey, okay, it's kind of an event. It's a project. But mainly, you get men outside standing around a bubbling cauldron, and that that keeps them out of a lot of trouble.
Well, it does. It gives them something to do. It gives them some kind of masculine bonding time.
Right.
And, you know, also it's really delicious. You marinate the turkey first and it makes it all spicy, and the guys really like that.
Yeah.
And now if you do that, I encourage you to fry several turkeys and freeze the rest because it's really yummy meat. But anyway, you know, find something that people like to do.
What about the women?
Well, the women, you can say to Aunt such and such.
Yeah.
You can say, I remember going to your house and seeing the things that you crocheted. My little girls would love to learn to crochet. Why don't you bring your crocheting stuff with you?
That's a neat idea.
You know, find something they love. Encourage them to come and share it with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I have an aunt who loves to sing. You know, invite.
Oh, she loves it when somebody asks her to sing.
Yeah, and so you know, invite people to share their gifts. And in fact, when you're talking to them, talk to them about what they love and about their lives. Get them talking about themselves, especially memories. Get people to share memories.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and they'll be talking a lot less about your life if they're talking about their own lives.
Yeah, and the funny thing is sometimes those older family members will open up to an in-law, because I remember some of your elderly relatives telling me stories that you and your mother, your jaws were dropping. You said, I've never heard that story before.
Oh, my grandfather's twin brother told you things about being in World War II that he'd never told anybody.
Yeah, and so sometimes, you know, they're coming in from somebody from outside the family. That may get the conversation rolling. And, you know, things like that. That's invaluable stuff.
Oh, it really is. Some other things you can do to keep people busy is you can videotape memories. Assign one of your teenage children or your tween children to carry a video camera and say, would you share a memory of growing up?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was your favorite thing to do when you were growing up? You know, what was your favorite movie?
Uh-huh.
You know, and save those memories, and that gets people talking, gets them on the things that matter, on what we share together as a family.
You know, back on the big family thing, I know it's interesting because there's an official cultural party line about, you know, big families. We laugh at them and we kind of look down on them. But a lot of times you get these older folks together when they're in private, when they no longer have to say what's expected culturally, then they'll oftentimes they've told us, oh, I grew up in a big family. And you know what? It was like having a sleepover every night. We had friends. We never went without a friend. Because we always had a brother or sister to play with. And you know, when they can get private and feel like they're safe, a lot of times you'll find out they're not that abrasive or hostile towards you at all. And so, you know, you come in there and try to draw these things out of people. That can be an interesting project in itself to say, hey, you know, we've got this really grumpy aunt who's always there. Why don't we do our best to make her smile? What can we do to give her a good time, a happy day? Because a lot of times when, you know, when they feel like people have an interest in them, they loosen up. They find that they're not so hostile after all.
Another option is to pass out like a 4x6 index card and pens and say, would you share one memory that you have of growing up? Or would you share one memory of grandpa who's with the Lord or something? Or, you know, give them something like that and say, okay, we'll read them out loud, try to guess whose they are, and then I'll compile them and send them to everybody.
Whoa, that's neat.
You know, you can do these things to prompt, you know, what's the goal here? Why are we meeting together? We're meeting together to acknowledge what the Lord has done.
That is the purpose of holidays.
Yes.
Is to remember what God has done.
And that includes what God has done in our families.
Yeah.
You know, what he's done over our family history. And it's really amazing to see that. And yet it's so easy for us to gather together and never even bring that stuff up.
And what a missed opportunity that is.
It really is.
So I guess in summary, what we say, yeah, everybody's got family members that are uncomfortable to deal with. But if we come at it with a little bit of planning and forethought, with a gracious attitude ourselves, and with a willingness to serve. You know, to say, I'm not here to fight, but I'm here to enjoy the company and to serve you in some way. You know, I think if we come with those attitudes in mind, that's going to change the whole tone of the gathering.
It really will. And it has been shocking to me how that has changed the tone of gatherings we've been to.
Mm-hmm.
I remember a gathering with some family that I don't think knew the Lord, and we had really worked hard to keep it a godly tone through the and a fun, loving tone. And at the end, they asked us, could we pray together? Would you pray? My husband needs a job.
Yeah.
And I about fell over dead.
Wow. Success.
Yeah. And yet, you know, it just comes from being loving. You know, they will know we are Christians by our love for the brethren. And when they see our love for each other and our love for our family, you know, love is irresistible.
And everybody needs it.
Yeah.
Everybody wants
it. Okay, before we go, I have a pro tip for you.
Yes.
Bonus. Okay, what do you do when someone starts quizzing your kids? Happens to all of us as homeschoolers. Everybody thinks it's their duty to make sure these children are being adequately educated. What do? You laugh and you say, hey, school's out. No kid wants to do homework on Thanksgiving. And then you suggest something else to do.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now here's something that you may want to do. You may want to get on our newsletter list. We are about to announce a whole bunch of new products.
And this is
exciting stuff. Okay.
Like a radio theater that is so good. I mean, it sounded better than Jonathan Park to me. I am so excited. Mm-hmm. Cast of dozens of people. Music composed just for this radio theater. You're not going to believe it.
This is a really good one. And we have the final installment of a long-running series that we have had. Hundreds and hundreds of people have bought it and loved it. And we've got the last chapter.
And a sequel to one of our most popular products from last Christmas.
Mm.
So make sure raisingrealmen.com/newsletter. And y'all, mm-hmm. may the Lord bless you next week during the Thanksgiving season and give you much to be thankful for.
That's right. And look, if you need some ideas and you need some new recipes, some good time-honored, tested Southern-style recipes, go to raisingrealmen.com/wegathertogether and get that ebook because it will make a difference. You'll love it.
Yes, and you'll have the best turkey you ever put in your mouth.
Excellent. Well, look, we hope you'll join us again next Monday night. We'll look forward to meeting with you again there. Thank you so much. Until next time, I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
God bless you all.
See you later, folks.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/HalandMelanie or Facebook.com/RaisingRealMen. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.